What's going on, everybody? Welcome to NS9 Live. I'm your host, Jim. With me is Tyler. And we got a special guest today. Special guest, Congressman Chris DeLuzio from Pennsylvania 17th District. Congressman Chris, what's going on? Thanks for joining us.
Going on, guys. Thanks for having me on.
let's kind of get into it. So for those of you who maybe don't know you, right? And this first time they're seeing you. You went to high school with me. You were a senior when I was a freshman.
We were on Crusaders.
Yes, on Crusaders, Bishop Canavan High School. You were class of 02. Yep. From there, you go to the Naval Academy, officer in the Navy, three tours of duty, I think.
Three deployments, yep.
Yeah, three deployments. From there, you go to Georgetown for your law degree, come back to Pittsburgh, do a lot of cool stuff with voters' rights and the University of Pittsburgh. And now you represent the fine people of Western and Northern Allegheny County and Beaver County. So, welcome to the show.
And some folks in the eastern part of the county. Come on.
Okay, there we go. I was looking at the map and there we go. Thanks for hopping on here.
Good to see you on here too, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. Wanted to bring you on because, when it comes to things in DC, a lot of partisanship, right? But I think you're introducing something, a bill that everybody can get behind, whether you're Republican or you're a Democrat. Talk to us about this bill that you're co-sponsoring that would bring us a commemorative coin for Roberto Clemente.
Yeah.
How did this all come about?
Very cool. And number one, awesome to be on with you, Jim. this is fun. I'm repping Roberto right here. You guys can see it. It's Roberto Clemente Commemorative Coin Act. A couple of my colleagues lead it, as you say, bipartisan. So a Democrat and Republican, a member from New York, member from Puerto Rico, and then there are a bunch of people co-sponsoring, a lot of Western PA people. I think Guy Reschenthaler and Summer Lee are both on. There are probably some others I'm forgetting in Pennsylvania. I mean, I don't need to tell anybody who's listening to this who Roberto Clemente is and what his legacy and career meant to all of us as Buccos fans. Mm-hmm. But the bill is really pretty powerful, right? It would mint a commemorative coin, have the Treasury do that, which they do to honor great Americans in our history. There'd be a design, which would be great if this gets done, working with the foundation and the family. And then the idea is it would raise money from the sale of the coins to go back to the foundation, which does a lot to help kids at risk and so much more. And so I just think really awesome example of not just a Pirates legend, but a guy who is important to so many in baseball and beyond, gave his life trying to help people suffering. So it's really cool. Everybody sees what's on the news and Congress is chaos and dysfunction. And it is, trust me, a lot of the time. Sometimes we can, I hope, do something that's kind of interesting and kind of good. And also, gets into the heart of who we love as Pirates fans.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So what stage is this in? Like, what can people expect? Where are we kind of at in this? Like, I'm imagining it takes a lot for something that like this to kind of go through the process.
You guys remember like the Schoolhouse cartoon about how a bill becomes a law?
Yeah.
part of it is you got to get a lot of buy-in for people to co-sponsor it, right, in the House. So you look at the numbers, it's a good group. It helps when something has big bipartisan support because we usually every week Usually the first day of the week, we'll vote on what are called suspension bills. They're usually not controversial. They pass with big margins and they get on a fast track because you don't have to go through the normal rules committee and everything else. That's the hope for something that's got a lot of support and the easiest way for one of these things to become a law. We'll see. It's been if I'm being generous, not the most productive Congress. So I don't want to get, too optimistic about things, but look, there's a lot of support here. And as I say, it's not just people in Western Pennsylvania who care about Roberto, right? I mean, he's a legend, not just in Puerto Rico, in, communities all over this country and all over the Americas. So I think it's something we ought to do. Proud to rep him.
So I'm just curious, how did you come up with the idea of this commemorative coin?
Not my idea.
Idea. Okay. That was actually the lead question, but I want to give you credit.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to take credit where it's not due. Adriano Espaillat, one of my colleagues from New York, who's been really hustling here. He and a colleague from Puerto Rico are leading the thing and, doing the hard work of getting other co-sponsors, and we're working to get the Pennsylvania folks, who I think they're a lot already on. So hopefully we get it done. And, there are a lot of baseball lovers out there, right? We have this charity baseball game every year. There's nothing more Americana than baseball in my mind. So hopefully we can do this thing.
Yeah. It sounds like it's for an amazing cause, obviously. And yeah, I think Roberto Clemente, he not only did he impact the people of Pittsburgh and just the kind of surrounding areas here, but so many people really across the world. Puerto Ricans, I mean, he's a legend there in Puerto Rico. And like you mentioned, kind of he gave his life helping people. So there's just an absolute legend, especially here in the Pittsburgh community. So yeah, pretty neat bill going through Congress. So so if you're out there watching, you're listening to this tomorrow, just kind of keep that on your radar. Maybe if you're not in the 17th House District, call your congressman and be like, hey, support this Roberto Clemente bill, right? So, all right, good stuff. You mentioned,
by the way, good members of Congress pay attention to those calls. So not the worst thing to do here.
I've actually, every time I've had two congressmen that I've voted for, that have represented me in my adult life. And, I've written to them twice. I've written to each one once, and both times I got a response. So I was pretty impressed.
Good.
Yeah. So, you mentioned the charity baseball game. So let's kind of hit on that. Last year, this was something I always knew Congress did, right? I always knew there was this congressional baseball game, but I never really paid a whole lot of attention to it until last year, because you were the starting pitcher. So kind of just talk to me about that whole experience. Like, what was it like leading up to that? Was there tryouts for this thing? Or was it just like, I played baseball in high school, I think I can do this. Like, what was that like?
So it's Democrats versus Republicans. It's fun. It's competitive. Everybody, a lot of people care about it. We raise good money for charity. Longtime member of Congress from Pittsburgh, Mike Doyle, who retired before I got there, had been the manager for a while for the Democrats. And, I get elected, I'm heading to Congress, and Mike finds out I played high school baseball. And it's telling people, oh, he played baseball, he's young. And I get there, and I'm like, guys, it's been, 20 years. And all these people say back to me, only 20 years, right? It's not a young group in Congress.
No,
all right.
No.
So, I'm in my late 30s. I can still throw a baseball. I was a catcher. And, yes, we practice very early in the morning, so nobody goes out and embarrasses themselves or gets hurt. And, it turns out I can still throw. And next thing you know, I'm throwing a little bit in the bullpen, and I get the tap to take the mound. And Jim knows, and I don't know if anybody else does, I didn't pitch in high school or anything like that. I was a catcher. Mm-hmm. So it was wild being out there. We play at the Nats Stadium, so we're major league ballpark. I forget the stat, but, we had 10, maybe 20,000 people in the stands. It was on Fox Sports.
It was on national TV. Yeah. I think it was like FS1. Yeah. Fox
Sports. Yeah. I mean, it was wild, and it was a lot of fun. We lost. My pitching stats are not, I'm not going to the Hall of Fame, I went behind the plate to catch the second half of the game. Felt much more comfortable back there. And it was fun to hit and do all of it. And you know, it's I never thought I'd play in a major league ballpark, right? Period.
Yeah.
To do it as like a 37, 38 year old, whatever I was at the time, it was wild. It was a fun thing. As I say, it was, you know, good cause, raised a bunch of money for charity. You don't see people across party lines. The American people don't usually see us doing something with some camaraderie and doing it over sports, over baseball. It's cool. It's a fun tradition.
Did they have the radar gun on during it?
I hope not.
Just the guess of it. You had to touch 70, right?
I hope so. I mean, I hope 70 so.
70 soft to touch.
I had a fastball and a curveball, and that was about it.
Hey, that works. That's all you need.
I had some control issues out there. I got to work on the
final. Well, I feel like it took you a while to settle in, right? Yeah. Yeah. But offensively, good day at the plate. You put a real nice charge into it was a double or a triple?
I think I had a double. I got hit by a pitch.
That's right. You did.
I think I walked once. So I had a decent offensive turn of things, but the pitching, we got to work on that.
I actually have a picture here of you rocking the Pirates jersey with number 17. So
you know what? Hey, the upper half form doesn't look bad. We just gotta stride out a little more.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. I gotta use the lower body a little more.
Stride out, get more into that lower half, but we're on the right track there.
Yeah. It's funny being a catcher, you know,
we'll be good.
The form is always your balls. It's right here. It's quick. It's very different. Right. Learning to pitch where it's back. Mm-hmm. It was a weird change to learn it.
So the game this year is in June. Mm-hmm. Are you going back on the mound? Is that the plan?
Well, I'm not going to give away what the plan is for our team here. All I'll say is I'm working on my form. I'm working on my catching and I'm ready to do both.
Can we talk about the past real quick? Because Jim likes to tell me how good he was as a high school athlete, and I finally get to meet someone who knew him back then.
But you got to remember, he was a freshman, right? So, you know, the freshman on the varsity team at that point, you guys didn't get many reps, as I recall.
No. Yeah, we didn't get to cross paths too much. I was a pitcher, though, so there may have been some sort of
I remember
bullpen session there.
What kind of heat did you throw? I can't remember.
If I was like letting it go, it was in the 80s, and that was it. Like, it started with an 8. Let's just say that. But
that's more heat than I'm bringing right now.
That's if I was really I was really letting loose.
Yeah.
Brett says freshman on the varsity team. I actually didn't letter my freshman year. I didn't letter until sophomore year. Yeah. So that was a pretty good. We had a pretty good baseball team.
Hey, my sophomore year, we won Whippeels.
Yeah,
and I think went to the state semifinals, and then we won section every year I was there. I think you guys won it for a while after, right?
So my sophomore, the year after you left, sophomore year, we were Whippeel runner-ups, which was still pretty cool, though, because we got to go. That game was at PNC Park. Like, that was pretty neat.
Well, I'm going to date myself. The year we won Whippeels was at Three Rivers, where our starting pitcher, Mr. McCullough, I think pitched a complete game shutout and hit a home run over the fence at Three Rivers Stadium. Dominant performance.
It's impressive.
That's a shot.
Yeah. So not only, again, representing the area in Congress, the congressional baseball game, but I mean, you're born and raised in the area. You're a huge baseball fan, obviously played it your whole life. talk to me just about like the Pirates start, like how much attention are you paying to it? What, are they,
it's hard.
What are you thinking? Yeah.
Look, you know, I love the Pirates. They are a source of decades of, you know, frustration too, with glimpses of hope sprinkled in. I mean, we play in the most beautiful ballpark in Major League Baseball, in my opinion. I mean, PNC Park on a great day, like, you can't beat it. I don't know. I mean, what are we, 9-3 right now? 10-3?
9-3.
You know, we have potential. It's hard for me to get too bought in yet. I gotta make sure they're not gonna break my heart.
Like they do every year. Yeah.
I want to see him come up. I want to see him come up. I think he'd be, I mean, his numbers so far, I mean, he's looking good. I don't think it's going to be too much longer.
Like there's just no way he can, you can't let him just continue to dominate these guys in AAA. At some point you just got to bring him up. So.
Well, but I mean, remind me, what's the, there's a big financial incentive not to though, right? I mean, the more they delay him coming up, his eligibility for what, arbitration or
minute contract? So it's like June, like early June. If they wait till then, they basically push arbitration back a whole year. But I don't think they can do it. Like, I don't think they can wait that long. Yeah. He's being too dominant.
That's a good problem for us to have. What's going on? I got to ask you guys, because I've not paid as much attention this year. What's going on with the pitching clock and these guys getting hurt?
Tyler, you're the pitching coach here.
I think a lot of people are maybe overblowing this a little bit because there was concerns about the pitch clock and what it would do for injuries. I don't know that we've really seen a spike in them. Yeah. I haven't really dug into the research of it, but I think you could also just blame one injury spiking in general. And plus I still think we can look back at 2020 missing that year and throwing a lot fewer innings. I still think we're waiting to see the effects of that. So a lot of things are going on that might get blamed on one thing. Personally, that's what I think.
Well, and look, like I think for the fan experience, right, the pace of play has been a boom.
So much better.
Right. I mean, just TV and in person, either way, it's it's a better product to watch.
I agree. I'm a big fan of the pitch clock. As someone who does post game shows, we do 162 post game shows a year. It's nice to not have to do those at 10:30 at night anymore. But I saw some numbers today, and I think the players are kind of overreacting to this pitch clock a little bit. Like Tommy John surgeries are not up. They're right in the same line as they have been the last 20, 25 years or so. I think what you're seeing right now is just like Brett says here, recency bias. But also the names that are kind of being hurt this year are some of the bigger names. So when you start seeing Shane Bieber and Framber Valdez and Yuri Perez, like when it's people that everyone's heard of, it just kind of gets noticed more, I think.
Are we going to have a closer? I mean, my guy Bednar is having a tough start. I love him, but what's going on with him?
Yeah, it's going to be a big topic for tonight, I think, is
yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't looked himself. Well, he didn't have a spring training, right? Like he was hurt for almost all of spring. I think he only had two or three appearances in spring. But yeah, he hasn't looked good. And Chapman, who, you know, is another guy who's fully capable of doing the job, he's looked really good. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm a homer for any Yinzer out there, and there aren't that many, and he's one of them. So I'm pulling for him.
I guess I got to hit you with the hard hitting question then, there, real quick. How do you feel about people booing him?
That's tough. I know.
A lot of discourse there.
I don't love it. I mean, look, it's a 162 game season, right? You got to give guys some grace, especially who's got a record of playing the game well and doing well and stepping up in tough situations. I don't love it. That's a Philly thing more than it's us.
A little early for the booze.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame people for doing it.
No, I get it. Listen, I get it, right? When you save or not, it's a save or it's not, right? I get it, but I don't know. These guys are putting a lot out there every day.
I'm with you. I think he's also earned kind of a little bit of a leash. Like, I mean, he's had back-to-back-to-back really, really good seasons. He's helped win a lot of games, right? So now, if he's still blowing games for the next 2 months, I can maybe see it. But yeah, it's April 10th. Let's give him a little bit of time. That's where I'm at.
I think I'm with you, Jimbo.
Yeah,
I think I'd agree.
All right. Well, I think we kept you long enough, Chris. Appreciate you. Appreciate you hopping on here. Again. Thank you. Everybody who lives in Chris's district, whether you're Republican, Democrat, whatever, just know you got a good guy representing you. Nice Pirates fan too.
I appreciate that. Let's go Bucks. See you guys.
All right. See you, Chris.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. There we go. We're going to be on, You'd be on like C-SPAN or MSNBC one day.
Maybe.
He actually segued us into our next topic there.
I'm telling you. Bit. He did it twice too.
Yeah. I like how you were trying to get him to talk about my athletic prowess though.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof.
But you know what? That's a good friend right there. He wouldn't go in on you.
No, it was good.
No.
I don't know if you caught that too, the Jimbo at the end.
Yeah.
I'm
more of a Jimothy guy, but I get
you're a Jimothy guy. Yeah.
You were Jimbo on my phone for a while.
Yeah. I was Jimbo all throughout high school.
Well, I prefer Jimothy.
Jimothy, Jimbo, Jim.
Jimothy, Naruto, and Cody.
Yeah. Speaking of Naruto, he's not here today.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this show,
the congressman had to delay us discussing Naruto.
Well, so here's the thing, right? Because it takes a lot to get a U.S. congressman to like devote time. Like you've got to schedule this stuff pretty far in advance, right? They're busy people. So we've had this on the calendar for about a month now, and DiNardo knew about it for a month, and then literally 3 hours ago he sends a text and he's like, "Oh guys, I just realized I can't do tonight.
Guys, I got to go to a comedy club." I pulled in my driveway at 8:50, scrambling to get home to make sure I was here on time for this. And DiNardo, just no respect.
You've got dedication. He doesn't.
I get it. It's tough. It's hard out here.
It's hard, like Brett says. It's sad. Sad.
Sad.
Yep.
Let's talk Buccos.
Let's talk Buccos. You know what? Let's just, I mean, the topic of the day is David Bednar, right?
Right.
Martin Perez, amazing start again yesterday. Mm-hmm. 8 innings, 1 run, 100 pitches. Pirates up 3-1. Bednar comes in for the 9th. He's looked shaky, obviously, his first few outings. Looks awful yesterday. Balls all over the place. Mm-hmm. Nowhere near the strike zone. Just doesn't look like himself. You can tell right off the bat. Yeah. He didn't have it. Like, he did not have it from pitch one, right? He stays in the game. All in all, gives up 4 runs before being lifted after just recording 1 out. So the 3-1 lead becomes a 5-3 deficit pretty quick. It was a day game, so I had it on in the background, but mm-hmm. I literally, it was 3-1. I get a work call. Mm-hmm. I'm on the call for about 10 minutes. I'd hang up. And then I look at the score, and all of a sudden it's 5-3. I'm like, what in the world just happened?
It's funny you say that, because I was leaving work to go to get on the bus for my baseball game, and it was 3-1. And you sent the text, Jinx, of you'll be on in 7 minutes, because there was a little bit of a time crunch for the post game show yesterday. And the game was scooting, and it was about to be over. Bednar's coming in, shut the door. You send the text that says, you guys will be on in about 7 minutes. I walk out of work, jump in my truck. I didn't even turn the game on because I was just trying to do other things, and pull into the school, and it's 4-3. So we had a similar situation there, but also I kind of blame you. You jinxed it. It was actually a combination of you and DiNardo.
I will say this. I'm pretty sure the message I sent was, this will be over in like 15, 20 minutes. And that was
someone said 7.
Yeah. I want to say
that might have been
DiNardo. It was somewhere in that area. Yeah, just a rough game, because it's a game they should have won, right? Like they outplayed them for 8 full innings. I don't know. He was wild. He was not in the zone. I thought those first few outings, despite giving up a run in a couple of them, right? I thought he still looked good. Like the home run he gave up in Miami, he lost to the batter. But like the stuff still looked crisp. There wasn't really anything that stuck out to me to say there's something wrong with David Bednar. Yesterday though was probably the first time where he just didn't look good. didn't know where the ball was going.
Yeah, he didn't miss any bets.
Well, he was also just the command inside the zone was bad right too. Like he was missing with everything.
Yeah, right. But usually his stuff is good enough that even if the command's off a little bit, he can still miss bats. And the velocity was there, spins were there. Like I don't think it's necessarily current injury issue. Let me go back here. I think that the Pirates have handled this poorly because David Bednar really did not get any spring training. And I think that they rushed him back here to have him available early in the year. I mean, they might have saw what we're looking at right now where the stuff is kind of there. Like, we're not seeing any issues stuff-wise, but command-wise, it's not good right now. And he didn't get a spring training hardly at all. I think they probably missed the boat here by allowing him to not start on the IL.
Do you think any of this has to do with the Moretta injury, the Holderman flu outbreak, the Majinski injury, right? So when you have those three guys who you were counting on, they all aren't available to start the season. Now, all of a sudden, where before, if those guys were available, you're like, okay, you know what, David,
yeah,
take some time, make sure you're ready, make sure you're built up, you know, feeling good, command of all your pitches. Perhaps maybe those three guys being out sort of forced their hand to be like, you know what, we kind of need you right now. Like, if you become the fourth person out of this bullpen who has to start the season on the IL, you know, now we've got issues. So I kind of think that had something to do with it because yeah, he just didn't get much of a spring. I mean, I think he pitched in three games.
Yeah, not much.
Maybe not even that without really looking. So I'm not sounding any alarms right now quite yet. I'm not saying David Bednar needs to be demoted to AAA right now. I will say this, like if he's not 100%, maybe an IL stint is the best thing, right? Give him an IL stint, send him on a couple rehab assignment outings, and make sure he's ready to go. If not that, then maybe just take him out of these high leverage situations for a bit. Be like, hey, you know what? There's clearly something that you're going through. We've got another guy who can at least fill in while you're working through some things. Maybe Bednar's next outing is in a 5-1 game in the seventh inning, right? So I don't know if you're at that point yet, but I think that's your first step as opposed to like you're not sending David Bednar to AAA right now.
Right? Oh no.
Yeah, like the two-time All-Star, three straight years, he's been one of the best relievers in baseball.
Right.
But I could see them maybe just saying, you know what, we're going to take a step back just from super high leverage appearances for a bit while you just get right.
Yeah, I think your first point there was really good that I hadn't really thought of, that there was a group of guys that were out at the beginning of the year and maybe they just thought we kind of need him right now, because that would have been two of your three workhorses in the bullpen that would have been out, and you're really leaning on Chapman heavily there. So that might really be why he didn't start on the IL. I also agree with you about the first step being an IL stint. With Holderman potentially coming back soon, I think that makes it a lot more available to the team. I said on the postgame show after one of his blown saves, because he's had a couple now, I'm not going to... Yeah. I didn't want to say the number, but I will give it till sometime in May. And if this is still an issue in May, I'm not saying send them a triple A, but the closer role will have to be discussed to the point where you might have to go a different direction. The first step, I think, is the IL. After that, then you probably do put them in a lower leverage situation. Right now, I don't want him to do anything that might make him lose confidence, because we know the closer role is just volatile as can be. Like finding an Aroldis Chapman in the world, in the grand scheme of baseball, that's rare. Guys aren't good for as long as he has been. It doesn't happen. So we know how volatile they can be. You want to give him some time because he's been so good for so long. And it's not even because he's from Pittsburgh, guys. Has nothing to do with my thinking here. It's just that he was so good for multiple years, and you've leaned on him so heavily that you kind of have to ride with your guy here. And you can't give up on him just because of three blown saves.
Yeah. I am curious, though, because, I mean, Shelton came out yesterday and said straight up, like, he's not hurt. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like at this point, sending him to the IL would be like, hold on, you just said he was fine. Now he's not. So what is it, right? Another interesting thing brought up today, and this happened today, and I think a lot of people missed this, but Carmen Majinski was activated off the IL.
Yeah.
And then optioned to AAA Indianapolis today. Strange. Just a weird move, because I feel like you could use Carmen Majinski right now, right? And if the goal is to just get him more appearances, then why wouldn't you just, like, the rehab assignment doesn't have to end right now. He has a lot longer on that rehab assignment if they want to keep him there. So I was really surprised to see that today, because you would imagine that, you know, once Majinski's rehab assignment's over, he's up here. So that was interesting to me, because why?
Right. Because, like, personally, if I look at the bullpen, he's probably four or five. If everybody's at full strength, he's probably your fourth or fifth reliever. So him being in AAA,
maybe even higher than that.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd still probably go Bednar, Holderman, and Chapman. And then I'd probably go Majinski there, but you'd probably make an argument for another guy being up there as well. But yeah, it's just strange. I don't, that was one that came across strange is just the only word I can come up with.
Yeah. It strange is a good word, because I don't understand the option, right? Cause now you're also using up an option year where, you know, maybe you didn't necessarily have to. Bridges of October here, just optioning his him lower his salary and change his service time. That is true. It absolutely does. But, like, what are we doing here if we're optioning a guy who should be in this bullpen just to save money and service time? Like, we shouldn't be worried about Carmen Majinski's service time right now.
Yeah,
I mean, and he's, like, making the league minimum. Like, the dude's making $750,000 this year.
And, like, who are you worried about potentially DFAing?
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of here, is if they're just playing that game of let's stockpile arms, right? But, you know, Nolan brings up a good point here. Like, Hunter Stratton has options, right? So why are we using up, like Carmen Majinski? I like Hunter Stratton. Like, he was my pick the click, you know, in spring training. But Carmen Majinski should be here over Hunter Stratton, I think. Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just odd. I don't get it. And when you option somebody, like, they got to stay down there for a while, like, unless there's an injury, right? So unless there's some injury that comes up, Carmen Majinski can't be called up for 2 weeks.
And it almost makes you wonder, is Majinski, just of what they've seen from him so far, is he maybe not there right now? That was his offseason not good? Is his stuff not all the way back? Command not there. I don't know any of these answers.
Yeah,
maybe, you almost have to assume, like, it's something like that.
Yeah, but then, like, why aren't you just keeping him on rehab? Like, that's what I don't really, I don't really get. So that was an interesting move, but let's go, I mean, back to Bednar.
Yeah, right? back to Bednar.
The booze, right? The booze come, it's and here's another thing too, like, the booze are in quotation marks here. It was a Tuesday afternoon crowd. There were 800 people in the stands. Like, there was nobody at this game yesterday. did maybe like a dozen people boo? Probably. And who knows, were they booing Bednar? Were they booing Shelton for leaving him in too long? I have no idea, right? Mm-hmm. But
were they just drunk guys on a Tuesday? Yeah, that
you know what? I called off work on a Tuesday and I got hammered drunk at the ballpark. So, yeah, you know, I'm just going to boo.
I've been at the ballpark on an afternoon game. I've seen it.
Were they saying Boo-nar, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. But is this anything at all? I feel like we're just, I feel like this is something that has been discussed now for, you know, over 24 hours. And it's just, it's a non thing. It's not even a thing worth talking about. Yet here we are. The Pirates are 9-3 right now. And because Rowdy Tellez had to jump in front of the camera and like defend David Bednar like he's some rookie. Like, Rowdy, David Bednar is the same age as you. This is his fifth major league season. He can stand up for himself. He's a grown man, right? Now I'm not gonna say Rowdy Tellez did the wrong thing. Like, I think the clubhouse loves Rowdy Tellez. Everybody seems to be getting along with him. He was doing what he thought was right at the time, right? But like, if Rowdy Tellez doesn't jump in there and
it's a non-story.
And the beat writers say, hey, tough outing today. You know, fans didn't really seem to enjoy it either. What was your kind of your reaction? And Bednar just goes, you know what, man? I sucked out there. I need to get better. That's on me. I understand the fans' frustration. Then, yeah, this is a complete non-story. We're not talking about it. Like, it doesn't even get brought up at all. And now, just because Rowdy Tellez and his 20 seconds of, you know, having to stick up for this guy, which again, I'm not even saying it was wrong. It's just now we're on like day two, right, of talking about this thing. Just, I want to be talking about the 9-3 Pirates,
right,
going into Philadelphia this weekend.
Right.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah. You know, it almost feels like Rowdy did that just because he felt like it was the right thing to do there. It almost feels a little bit like I'm trying to be a little bit of a leader in this clubhouse. Like, it wasn't necessary. We're fine. Like, fans boo people every now and then. It happens. And to be completely and totally honest, 3 blown saves is absolutely unacceptable. I don't care if he's hurt. It might not be on David Bednar, but whoever it's on, 3 blown saves, and we are 13 games in. 3 blown saves in 13 games is absolutely unacceptable. It can't happen. I understand he's David Bednar. He has a little bit more rope than everybody else. You can't have it. Like, you deserve to be criticized. You cannot blow games like that. He's been fortunate that the Pirates were able to pull out 2 of those wins. Because if they didn't win those 2 games, the boos would have been a lot worse. And the criticism would be a lot worse right now. But they pulled out 2 of the wins. I like David Bednar. I still believe in him. But truthfully, either he or the Pirates, for the entire situation, they deserve to be criticized here. Plain and simple, you can't blow 3 saves in 13 games. Doesn't work. Can't have it.
Yeah. I mean, nail on the head. Steel City DW or Nolan, if there was a game today, the story is gone. And I think that's probably true, right? Yeah, like, probably. If there was a baseball game today at 7 o'clock and we're sitting here doing a post game show instead of an NS9 live, this isn't really even a topic at this point. Like, maybe Bednar goes out there and he gets a save, right?
Yeah.
and we're just talking about that. But
that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. It is what it is, because I think all of us, we're big fans of David Bednar. He's been a monumental piece to this team for the past few years. 2-time All-Star. He's been an elite closer in Major League Baseball for the past 3 years. And I mean, like, elite, right? You look at the numbers, there's not too many closers out there where you're like, they're better than David Bednar. So, you know what? I mean, they're 9-3. They're going into Philadelphia. Colin Holderman's going to be
10-3 is 12 games. Damn, my math is bad.
Math is bad. Colin Holderman going to be joining the team tomorrow. So you hope that that kind of gives the bullpen a little bit of a boost as well. But yeah, 4-game series against the Phillies. Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez, Spencer Turnbull, and they get Zach Wheeler on Sunday. Kind of their, like I said, big test. Baltimore was a big test at home. This is the first time really going on the road and facing a good team, right, in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, again, some measuring sticks. You just want to kind of see how you measure up against these teams that you know you're going to be, if you have any hope for fighting for a playoff spot, these are the teams you're going to be stacked up against, right? And Philadelphia is one of those teams. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. Like I said, from a rotation standpoint, they miss Aaron Nola, but they do hit Zach Wheeler there on Sunday.
Yeah.
But
I was just looking at the matchups here. We're going to see some lefties again, which, I mean, truthfully, might be good for the Pirates because for some reason they've put together a roster that does hit lefties well. So
yeah,
maybe that's new inefficiency of Major League Baseball is finding a bunch of righties that can't do anything other than hit lefties and win those games.
I mean, Olivares, Connor Joe has been outstanding, and same thing last year. Like Connor Joe had a hell of a start to last season's campaign. Same thing this year. Been one of the best hitters in baseball, to be honest. And I'm pretty sure the Pirates are undefeated when Connor Joe plays. And they are, and because he did not, I don't think he started yesterday, right? Or did he? No. No, he didn't. So when Connor Joe starts, the Pirates are 9-0. When he doesn't, they're 0-3.
Yeah, that kind of tells me that they just hit lefties really well.
Yeah.
Because truthfully, they do. And they do have a lineup that should. And
Connor Joe's got a 985 OPS this year.
Yeah. I don't know how long that's going to hold.
What if we just win out, go undefeated with Connor Joe?
I feel like I saw this song and dance last year with Connor Joe. Because he did start off super hot. And if you keep him in doses, Connor Joe is a very good piece to a Major League Baseball team. They just kind of overexpose him here and there. So let's just play him maybe 70 games and then hope to win another 20 and we'll be good.
Yeah.
Because he's going to go 70-0, right?
Yeah. If Connor Joe goes 70-0, then he's got to squeak out like 15 more wins somewhere.
Yeah. And you'll be fine.
That would be incredible. What if they just never lose with Connor Joe? It just ends up being a thing.
Oh my God.
But you can't do it every day or the magic wears off.
No, yeah, you gotta find your spots.
Yeah. Gosh, what else we want to talk about? I'm looking forward to maybe some more fundamental baseball this series.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing that this team's been lacking. And that's what I talked about it with DiNardo on Monday, but it's really encouraging actually that this team has looked so bad and yet they're 9-3 right now. It actually is encouraging because at some point you're going to play better baseball. Like, I don't think they can continue this forever. Good teams win when they don't play well. And that's what the Pirates have been doing lately. So I would like to see them actually run the base paths a little bit better.
Be nice, right?
Like tighten up the fielding a little bit. Yeah. The fielding's been rough all around the diamond, like everybody. Yeah.
And it's really a lot of it's been from two of the guys that I think you count on to be some of the best fielders in baseball, in Triolo and Hayes. They had a rough start to the year. And Triolo especially hasn't cleaned it up yet. I expect him to. I think Cruz is going to be an adventure as long as he's at shortstop, which is fine because he brings enough elsewhere that you live with it. But those other spots really do need tightened up. Really, the only guy that's played solid defensively other than yesterday is Michael A. Taylor. Had a little issue yesterday, yeah. But for the most part, he's been pretty good out there in center. One more thing. I feel like Jack Selinski's really close. I do. He's been bad to this point, but from what I've seen out of him, I think he's really close to having like a 3-home run week. I'm going to shoot my shot here. I think he has 2 home runs this series.
Okay. Hey, he's one of those guys where like,
we got lefties coming up. I think we see 2 home runs. I don't care.
Once he gets hot. Right. So yeah, I will say this, like the strikeouts are way down with Selinski. 16% strikeout rate on the year, 10% walk rate. The BABIP 206, right? There's some regression to the mean in a positive way,
right.
Due there. So I can appreciate that prediction. I think he's looked better. The strikeout rate being where it's at is encouraging.
Mm-hmm. And the walk rate too is still up there. So it's not like he's being aggressive to a point where he's not able to get deeper in counts and that walk rate being hurt by it. Like we saw Corey Dickerson when he came here, the strikeout rate dropped, but he just didn't walk ever because he just cut everything out and swung at everything. So Winsky's doing a good job right now, I think, of continuing to walk while being aggressive enough to cut the strikeouts down.
Yeah, because I think that's what we saw last year, right? Like he was just being very selective.
Right.
He was walking a lot, but he was striking out because he would get deep into counts way too often, take a borderline pitch and get rung up. Mm-hmm. We were seeing that way too often. So, yeah, I another comment here from Bridge to Bucktober, but I would be okay with more strikeouts if it meant more power, right? I mean, he's at 1 homer right now. I would take a 25% strikeout rate if he had 3 homers.
Right.
So there's kind of a little bit of give and take there too.
I get that, but also they face so many lefties at this point that I don't think he's had the opportunity to really get going.
Yeah. Also fair.
Look at me. I am becoming a Jack Selinski defender, Jim.
2024 All-Star.
I really do like what I've seen from him so far.
I like what I see from a lot of people, and I think that's what is encouraging here and why, I mean, I was pretty optimistic to begin with, right? 85 wins. That was the prediction. But for what I'm seeing right now, like I brought it up after Perez's last start, but I think I underestimated his ceiling. Like, I think he's got the potential to be way better, I think, than people have kind of given him credit for. Yeah. He's shown it in the past that he can be a very good starting pitcher. Yeah. So if he taps into that and he goes back to being like a 4-WAR starter, then this team is a completely different team, right? Like if Martin Perez is an all-star caliber starting pitcher and you've got Jared Jones doing what he's doing,
right?
You call up Paul Skeens next month and all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, this team's really good. Like, right. That's kind of where we're at that point. So I'm seeing a lot of really good things. Marco Gonzalez has looked good. I mean, shit, Bailey Falter almost threw a no-hitter, you know, over the weekend. So, and we got a Bailey Falter revenge game coming up against the Phillies. So, you know, big and things coming there.
Just to touch on Perez, it kind of feels like Quintana all over again. Like, he's just dicing people up. It's not like impressive or anything just on stuff, but it just looks like a pro's pro out there.
Yeah.
Like the way he's able to just command it and change speeds. And I really do enjoy watching him pitch because it literally is just like the work fast, change speeds, throw strikes. That's it. It's simple and it works.
Yeah. And the throwing strikes is dead on, right? He threw 100 pitches yesterday, 70 of them for strikes. Like when you get ahead of major league hitters on a consistent basis, it's hard to hit. Like when you're down 0-1 or when you're down 1-2, you just put so much pressure on that hitter.
Yeah.
Good things happen. Good things happen when you're ahead in the count on either side.
Either side.
Yep.
And it was same thing with Billy Falter in his last start. He jumped ahead of guys. That's all it comes down to. When you're able to get ahead of guys, your life is a lot easier. Now, granted, when you have stuff that 89 to 90, then they're going to swing at the first pitch and send it over the wall a lot of times.
Yeah, you just want to try to avoid that.
Yeah. But like if it really does just come down to if you can jump ahead, your life's going to be easier.
Yeah. What's your prediction for the weekend? Four-game set.
I'll be happy with two. I think they take two because two or three lefties on the mound for the Phillies.
Let's see. Suarez is a lefty, right? Yeah. Suarez is a lefty. Sanchez is a lefty. Turnbull is a righty. Wheeler's a righty. So two lefties, two righties.
I think they beat both lefties and lose to the righties.
Okay. So they win the Bailey Falter start.
Yep.
All right.
Bailey Falter revenge game, baby.
I think I would be very happy with 2-2 this series. That would put them at 11-5 on the season, mm-hmm. you know, going into New York. It's a pretty favorable schedule too towards the end of, you know, especially around that turn of the month. You got six games against Oakland and Colorado. So mm-hmm. there's some wins that they can stack here before they kind of get into the meat of their division schedule in like the middle of May. So
yeah. At the very least, you can't get swept here. You cannot get swept. No. You got to get one.
You never want to get swept.
No, but four game series, you really can't get swept.
I mean, look what happened to the Marlins.
Yeah. Just got to snag at least one, but hope for two. Three would be great. Four, I'm going to be dancing in the kitchen naked.
Like Bucko Mike says, Bucko Mike thought we pre-recorded this, by the way. I think he's mad because we haven't been putting up his comments. Bucko Mike, you gotta make better comments if you want on the screen. That's all I gotta say. But here we go. They need to stack some wins.
They do.
That's what they gotta do. And that's what they've been doing so far. So like these April wins count the same as September wins. So stack them in April while you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you got guys coming. You can't rely on them to get you there.
Yeah, anything else to add?
No, I think I'm good. We talk a lot about the Pirates every night.
Yeah, this was a fun show. Thanks to Congressman Chris DeLuzio for coming on. That was fun.
I really liked David the part Benmar. Where he said you were a terrible athlete.
He never said that. Yeah, he never said that. Yeah, he skirted around that.
He did it before the show.
That question. Yeah. I appreciate him skirting around that question, but let's get David Benard back on track this weekend. Let's win a couple of these games and let's get David Benard back on track.
Yep, I think getting at least two of them is priority one, and then number two is definitely getting David Benard back.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well. That's 54 minutes of us talking about the Pirates. Let's get out of here. Yeah. We'll have your post-game show all four games this weekend. You won't see me for a while. I'm about to I got a flight actually to catch in like 6 hours. So I'm going on vacation. So
yep.
I'm gonna be
Jimbo out.
I'm gonna be off the grid for a bit. So I need it. It's been a rough few weeks. So all right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for watching. Appreciate you all. We'll be back tomorrow with post game, all four games, and then Starbucks on Monday. We got you covered every single day. Hopefully, we give out some sandwiches this weekend too.
Let's hope so.
All right, see you guys.
Peace out, Scouts.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks. Oh.